In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris is in for Mike today. We are live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where tonight Atlanta United will take on NYCFC, and we'll be talking about that along with a bunch of other things. But we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening. I want to thank you guys yesterday as we had a spirited conversation about the dogs and Kirby Smart, and we talked about a variety of things. I, in fact, went off on Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. But in all of that, we saw the numbers today, and we were number one in our day part, Chris, yesterday. So I just want to thank the listeners for doing what they do, and that is being here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, in the spirit of that, what do you want to argue about today, Carl Brooks?
Well, here's what
that seems to get the people going.
Yeah, here's what I'm curious about. First and foremost, I just want to ask you about it, and then we'll talk more about it along the way, because we won't resume the baseball season until the end of the week. But what did you think about the game last night?
Yeah, because here's the thing, Carl Dukes.
What's that?
I watched Paul Skeens.
Skeens is cold.
He was dirty.
Yes.
He did his thing.
Yes.
They pulled him after one inning. What did I tell you yesterday?
One inning.
They were going to pull him after one inning.
One inning.
Then, you know who came in to save the day?
Who came in?
Our boy.
Who?
Tariq Skubal came in for the American League and shut it down, baby. And the National League, in their corresponding move, decided to put in our boy, Max Fried.
They did.
Who also did his thing.
Fried looked good, man.
Yeah, but you know what? At the same, like, Ohtani homered, and that was cool. But then at the end of the day, it was just like, man, like, I just don't feel the same level of passion and spirit behind the event like I did, as we talked about yesterday to wrap up the show, as I did when I was growing up. And it's hard to put a finger on exactly why. I think we touched on some of the good reasons yesterday.
Could, like, it be the uniforms?
The uniforms were awful. And those socks. Why?
Yeah, the socks.
For both teams.
Yeah, I agree.
What are you doing? I mean, listen, at the end of the day, was it like unbearable? No. But was I glued to it? No, I was not. That became a second screen experience for me after the second inning.
I agree. And I did want to see Skeens. He was the show, and I meant that. He didn't strike anybody out, which was weird.
He was throwing gas, though.
But he was money, man. I mean, and the kid, listen, anytime the Pirates are playing and he's pitching, I'm watching. Like, he's one of those guys now in Major League Baseball. Overall, you know, American League wins again. They've won 10 of the last 11. I mean, they've owned this game. I was not thoroughly entertained as much as I thought I might be. And to your point, it was on my third TV. I agree with you. I had other stuff on, and I'm watching, you know, some stuff over here, politics. And then I'm watching over here some sports, and then I'm watching some other movie thing that was on. And I was not paying as much attention as I might have, as I thought I might. Either way, I'm glad we're past it. I'm glad our guys played and did well. And now we can turn our focus to the last 60-some-odd games of the season. Hopefully we can chase down these Phillies and maybe win this division again. Again, that's all about home field, and I always want to have home field. But if not, we still need to position ourselves to be in the playoffs. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris in for Mike today. I'll tell you what I want to get to, and that is what Kalen DeBoer had to say today at SEC Media Days. Because Alabama fans, Alabama, thinks that this thing is not going to change. They think that they are just going to keep rolling. They're going to jump on this train with Kalen DeBoer. And despite the fact that Nick Saban is no longer the head coach, you guys, yes, you, think that you're just going to keep doing what you've done over the last 15 years. I don't think that's going to happen. And Kalen DeBoer today, in day three of SEC Media Days in Dallas, Turtle, had a lot of stuff to say. But a lot of it had to do with... I'm so glad Nick Saban is Nick and Alabama. It was a lot of kissing up, okay? With that said, Kalen DeBoer said it's been 6 months in Tuscaloosa, and I was joking with you guys earlier because I'm sure he's getting at the gas station, where's Nick? I don't know what he's going to do there. I don't know how good this team is going to be. I will say they are recruiting at a high level that has not necessarily fallen off. But if you're asking me today, did he say or do anything that gave me additional confidence that Alabama is going to continue to roll tide? No, he didn't.
But he didn't screw it up.
I didn't expect him to. He's been a head coach for a long time. And here's one of the things he said, Turtle, that I had to kind of go, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Kalen DeBoer today made it sound like it doesn't matter where you're coaching. And I just want to read this quote to you, because and we'll play it for you later in the show. But he basically said, and I'm not making this up, coaching football is coaching football. No, it's not. Dude, you haven't experienced these Roll Tide fans when you're in a three-game losing streak. You don't understand the pressure that goes with being at Alabama. I get it. He was at Washington there. He won there. Great. It's not Alabama, guys. And to say coaching is football, football is coaching, you know, no matter where you are, it's not. The field's the same. The players are certainly not the same. He's getting a different caliber player, I believe, now and will consistently at Alabama. But for me, personally, I understand that coaching football is coaching football. No, it's not. It's just not. And Alabama, and he will soon see, be losing at halftime in that first game of the season. Like, there is just something different that comes with being the head football coach at Alabama. And now you step into the footsteps of Nick Saban.
Well, here's a good comparison for you, Carl Dukes. Washington, Andy Bunker. Alabama, Jerome, where's my money? You can see the different types of personalities that represent those different fan bases. So, Carl, if on August 31st, Alabama is losing at halftime to Western Kentucky University,
yeah,
it's going to be a rude awakening for Kalen DeBoer. That's all I'm saying, man.
Jerome is a hardcore Alabama fan who's a listener. He shows up to...
We'll see him in a week.
Yeah, we use him as an example because, you know, to Chris's point, it's Alabama can't do anything wrong, right? And Andy Bunker is a realist and says, hey, Washington, when we're good, okay, I'll roll with it. But that expectation is not there. Kalen DeBoer today arriving at his first SEC Media Days. Again, it may be unfair, but, guys, it is what it is. It is what it is. You just stepped in the footsteps of the greatest college football coach in the history of the game. Dude walked away with 7 rings. He changed the game. Look at his coaching tree. Look at Georgia. Okay, it's easy to say that, but just look around the college landscape. And so I did think, you said it, he didn't screw it up, but I didn't expect him to do that. But I don't know what this is going to look like. And maybe you have more confidence than I do if you're a Bama fan and you're going, we're going to be fine. We're the best team in the SEC. I don't think you're the best team in the SEC. And now what has changed? If you go back to 2018, 2019, pandemic, whatever. Those years leading up to Georgia running it back-to-back, everything went through Alabama.
Yeah.
And now everything goes through Georgia. And that is what fundamentally has changed. It doesn't mean that he won't win 10 games a year, but guess what, Turtle? 10 games a year at Alabama is not enough. 11 wins at Alabama every year is not enough. The years when Nick Saban didn't win a national championship, fans were ready to jump ship because he didn't win 13 or 14 games and we didn't play for the chip. That is the pressure of being at Alabama, and Kalen DeBoer is about to experience it.
Let me read you something. I understand there's only one Coach Saban. There will only ever be one Coach Saban. This program is special, and I take it as a great honor to be the one that gets to do everything we can to carry on that tradition. That's what Kalen DeBoer's preaching. But let me say this, though, Carl, in fairness to Kalen DeBoer. If he's not Dabo Swinney, who jumps up and down in press conferences and makes declarative statements and yells at callers on radio shows.
What's your name?
Tyler.
Then, I don't care what your name is.
Then don't be that way, right? Like, if you're a level-headed, even kid, much like Kirby.
Wait. Are you saying he shouldn't have put on a show today?
He should not have. If that's not his person. But if that's not his. Because you know why, Carl? We could see through that. Like, if Kirby all of a sudden went up there and started doing jumping jacks on the stage, like, we'd be like, Kirby, what are you doing?
You know what it was today, Turtle? I think for me, it was. He was even keel, yes, but was he enthusiastic? Here's the deal. Like, I heard Kirby speak yesterday, and I know some of you disagree with some of the things he said when it came to the, you know, reckless driving stuff that we talked about. But there's a sense of confidence that Kirby exudes. Now, I get it. Kalen DeBoer hadn't won a game at Alabama, but that's what I needed today. I didn't need him jumping up and down, and I hear what you're saying. You know, coming out on stage and, like, ripping his suit off. Okay. But I needed him to exude, like, this confidence where nothing is changing. And as a matter of fact, we're about to get better. That's what I needed him to exude. And I don't think he did that. I think it was more like, pay homage to Nick Saban and everybody better like it. Saban's the best. I'll wait for your applause. I mean, that's kind of what I thought.
But exactly, right? Because what does that give you? That gives you the shield that you're looking for.
Until he starts losing.
Well, right. But for now, he's like, oh, I'm the you-know-what of the walk because I can come out here and just kiss the rings, literally and figuratively, and then just talk about how that's my main objective is to keep going the legacy and tradition that Nick Saban established in Alabama for the better part of 20 years. There's nothing wrong with doing that, as we're talking about, but as you just said, is that the best approach when you're trying to garner faith from not only your own fan base, but the national assembled media and saying that everything's going to be okay in Tuscaloosa? As a matter of fact, it's going to be better.
That's what he should have said. He didn't say that. You think Billy Napier's going to say that? I'm not going anywhere. You think he's going
to
pull the...
Graham Mertz is going to lead us to the promised land, damn it.
You think Billy Napier's going to be the Wolf of Wall Street? I'm not leaving. I mean, that's what I want to hear today. Anyways, we'll hear from Steve
Sarkisian.
Does
that come with Margot Robbie? Because if it does, then I'll quote that movie all day long.
I love that movie. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian as well. We'll get to some headlines. Arch had some interesting things to say yesterday late in the show about the Falcons. You'll hear that coming up later this hour. One of our listeners just said, hey, guys, no Braves. I know Atlanta United's playing tonight, but I'm more curious as to what's going on with Turtle's cat and Duke's your new dog. Okay, we'll tell you next.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob jobs. Dare to compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Talking about Jerome from, you know, the big Alabama fan. Look at this text he just sent.
Oh, my goodness. He wrote your story.
Well, he's in his feels because I just simply said Kalen DeBoer didn't give me that sense of confidence that I got from Kirby yesterday. That's all I said, and now Alabama fans are in their bag. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris is in for Mike today. T-Well says, I think, obviously, that he knows Alabama's a high-profile job. I don't expect him to get up there and say winning at Alabama is hard, and I don't know if I can do it. T-Well says, let the man be himself. We know he's not Coach Saban. Oh, we all know he's not Coach Saban.
Thank you, T-Wells, for stating the obvious there. Listen, all we were saying is, as hard as it is to do in year one, you have to try to project that Kirby level of swag and confidence to the best of your ability, or the Dabo level of swag when he was winning national championships. You can do it in your own way, but it has to be authentic. Otherwise, we'll see right through it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. I would have rather him did what he did today.
Nothing.
Than do, well, he, mission statement.
Have I told you guys about Nick Saban?
Yeah.
That's all he did today. Am I lying? That's all he did. I want to tell you guys, when I flew down to Alabama and I was thinking about getting this job, and Coach Saban talked to me, did I tell you guys I know Nick Saban? That's what he did today.
I understand there's only one Coach Saban. There will only ever be one Coach Saban. This program is special, and I take it as a great honor to be the one that gets to do everything we can to carry on the great tradition.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got from this. By the way, this tweet or text from Jerome, the big hardcore Alabama fan, he'll dominate. Okay, slow down. Stude hadn't won a game in the SEC yet. All right? I mean, like, give me a break. Like, if they beat Georgia at home in, what is it, week 4? Game 4?
Game 4.
Big game. Jerome, we can have this conversation.
Well, I mean, here's what's going to help, though, Carl.
What?
Western Kentucky, week 1.
Oh!
South Florida, week 2.
Did I tell you I know Nick Saban?
Yeah, a bad Wisconsin team in week 3.
But they go to Wisconsin.
They go to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Vanderbilt on the road after Georgia. Oh. And then South Carolina at home the following week.
Vandy? High school stadium. I mean, come on.
South Carolina? Are they going to be any good?
I do think Shane Beamer will have his moments.
Do they win more than 8 games?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
I think that's a loss for South Carolina against Bama.
So we're talking about this because SEC Media Days continue today. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, guys. As I mentioned, Chris is in today. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're going to hear from Billy Napier. He's speaking.
Probably just got done.
And then Texas's Steve Sarkisian is going to speak.
About an hour.
Yeah. So we're going to hear from those guys as SEC Media Days continue. But today was really, again, and for those of you who are being like, Dukes, I don't understand what the big deal is. For Alabama fans, the introductory press conference, when you got the job, you paid attention. Most America didn't, okay? The SEC Media Days is the first time that, again, he's on ESPN, it's the national media. Here's your opportunity to sell me whatever it is you want to sell me. And today what he sold me was, did I tell you I know Nick Saban?
Yeah.
That's what he did today, okay? And I'm not telling you again, he's going to be a bad coach because he won at Washington. He did a really good job.
Do you think Alabama fans wanted to hear that? Like, does that give them a sense of comfort and familiarity that he is so locking himself at the hip with Saban?
Yeah, but see, here's the deal.
Or should he be his own guy?
He's got to be his own guy. And I'm glad you said this, because he's got to be his own guy. Because here's the part about this. Turtle, you can tell me that you're still in contact. And I know Coach Saban's going to have an office there. You know, Brian Denny, I get all that. But you still have to do things your way. And it can't be so overwhelming that people start to believe that Saban still may be influencing coaching decisions.
Puppet master.
That's right. So that's why the whole, I get it. But today the message for me should have been, and this is what I wanted to hear from Kalen DeBoer is, and I said this before we went to break to Turtle, it's been great here, but it's about to get better. And that raises the bar of expectations. And for Alabama fans to just say, well, we hope to win the SEC, that's not enough. We hope to be in the 12-team playoff, that's not enough. So I just wanted him to exude that. I didn't feel like he did. He didn't say anything bad. He didn't say anything that's going to harm him in any way. But this is my assessment of it. And I go back, and again, yesterday I'm listening to Kirby Smart, and hell, Turtle and I were talking about his suit game. I mean, how he looked the part. There was a presence. And so for Kalen DeBoer to say, hey, coaching is coaching, it's just not. It's completely different. All right, guys, Dave Archer's on the way. We're going to hear from him talking about our Falcons. Also, a little bit later on, we're going to go around the NFL. Did you just tell me there's some footage out there of Michael Penix throwing the rock?
Listen, man, I got to give it up to the young lad when I have to give it up to him. For all the fun we and you had a couple of months ago, like a boxing match going round and round, there was a video compilation put out there. He was working with a group called the QB Stable.
Okay.
He was throwing out of high school.
Killing it.
Ball looked good.
Man. Yeah, he can spin
Ball
it.
Ball looked good.
He
man.
Can spin it. So you're saying I was right about all that stuff?
Well, no, but I'm saying that he can spin the rock. I'm saying that he can spin the rock. That's what I'm saying. The only thing I didn't like.
Oh, imagine that. Something you didn't like.
He had an outfit choice that I didn't agree with.
Dude's working out.
He was wearing these pink plaid, cheetah-colored.
They were probably given to him.
Shorts, and they were, you know, 3 inches below the waist is where they stopped. It was just a lot, man.
Oh, like, come on.
Can we just throw the Nike shorts on and be done with it?
It might be some kind of advertising
deal. I was trying to watch him throw the ball, and I'm worried about the damn shorts. I mean, that's where we are these days.
Well, I can't wait to look at it because I know you just told me that. And I got to give a big shout-out to one of our listeners because I guess she was at Best Buy. And she says, oh, look, it's Bijan Robinson on a TCL TV box. So I just retweeted it because I didn't even know he was doing these ads or whatever it is for him. But pretty cool that she was just rolling around. I guess it's that time of year where people are starting to think about getting their TVs for football season.
He better represent in a way that earns him that TV deal this year.
Wait a minute. What? What do you mean?
I'm represent? Just saying he better. Right. It better be.
Bijan's going to be great.
He better be.
It's going to be incredible.
He better be.
He's going to be off the hook.
Let me ask you this, though, in a serious question. How many more snaps does Algier need to get this year? Because in my opinion, it's at least 25% more.
Wait, whoa. You're taking the ball out of his hands 25% more times?
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Did you see what happened to Bijan at the end of last year?
It was his rookie season.
A little beat up, Carl.
It was his rookie year.
They were riding him pretty hard.
Algier's
there for a reason.
Well, this is why I will tell you that, and I'm sure B will tell you this too, when camp rolls around, he did a lot of extra work in this offseason to prepare his body for what he, I think, is going to be, again, a long season. Guys, if we get into the playoffs, you're talking about 26, 28, 27 weeks? With preseason, with camp and all the things, you start adding that up. It's a long time, and especially when you talk about the physicality of the league. But to your point, no, I don't think that he needs to 25% more.
Do you want Bijan Robinson?
I want him in certain situations. It's down distance and situational football for me with Algier.
Well, first of all, that 25% is based on the carries that he lost last year.
Okay.
I want him more looking like he did in his rookie year.
Wait a minute. So you're saying 50-50?
No, because Bijan still got whatever, 75-80% of the carries last year. But the fall off for Algier, I just need a little bump. Like, give me 25% more Algier than we got last year. But here's the real question, Carl, and the crux of what it comes down to. How many times do you want him touching the rock a game total?
Bijan?
Yeah.
As much as possible.
You want him 25, 30 a game?
He needs to.
That's a lot.
He needs to see between 18 to 25 times a game.
Touches.
Handoffs.
Touches.
Correct.
Okay.
Screens, wide receivers, slot, however you want to use him, Zach. However you want to use him, 18 to 25 times a game because he's that explosive. He's going to give you, of those 18 to 25 plays where he may touch the ball, six could go. Six of those could be explosive plays for you, in my mind, in a game. So, obviously, games dictate things, guys, and you go in, and if there's a weak cornerback and they want to exploit him and Drake can take advantage of him, they're going to do that. But Turtle, 18 to 25 times a game, he's got to see it. That's how good he is. I just don't feel like we saw all that last year because of the kookiness of some of the play calling.
Yeah, so in Tyler Allgeier's rookie year, he had 210 carries for 1,035 yards. Last year, only 185 for 683.
But he was productive.
I need more than that, though.
He was productive.
But he's too good to only get the ball that few times.
Give me first downs. Give me short yardage situations. Give me tough yards. I'm all for it.
So, but are you taking the ball out of Bijan's hands in between 5 yards and in? I don't want to do that.
No, but I don't think that, for example, this is what I'm talking about. If we go on an 80-yard drive and Bijan has carried it or touched it four or six times in that 12-play drive,
yep.
We get inside the red zone. Now everybody's like, Bijan's going to get it. You don't have to necessarily go. It doesn't have to go that way. This is where you have a fresh Allgeier to come in and pound you. So even though he will get those touchdown opportunities, it's situational. Those are the kind of things. If it's a five-play drive, 60 yards, and Bijan carried it 20 yards on a running play and set us up, okay, well, if you want to go back to him, great. But I think if you've used him in a long drive situation, it gives you the option to go back to Allgeier. This is the stuff that Zach Robinson's got to figure out. This is way over my pay grade. This is the stuff Zach Robinson's got to figure out.
But you know what? You know what else it's going to be, Carl? The stuff that we're breaking down on Monday.
Well, no doubt about it. Zach, don't screw it up.
Yeah.
404-726-0929. Because all of a sudden, then I become a savant. Hey, guys. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live. Live well. Dave Archer stopped by the show yesterday talking Falcons, which leads us right into our conversation with him about what will we be watching at camp starting next week. Hear what Dave Archer has to say. Analyst for Atlanta Falcons next. Right now, let's talk Falcons. Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, is here. And Arch, I know you're excited because this time of year we all get excited about camp getting underway. And, you know, if we could just do away, right, Arch, with all the stuff, let's just get to the games. Can we get to the games, right? That's
right,
how we feel.
Right.
But it's good to have you on the show. I want to start with the offense because I know you spent time with Zach Robinson, our new offensive coordinator, and then talking to some of the guys where they have related to us that, look, Kirk Cousins is way ahead of the curve when you talk about this offense. I don't know how much the language has changed, but I was saying this, Arch, and I want to get your thoughts on it. How much does it help that he is really has been running this offense? And then coming in with Zach Robinson, they're already, you know, the communication is where it needs to be. They don't have to go into camp and try to develop that, right?
No, you're exactly right, Carl. It's a great deal of experience that he has in the system. Now, there's going to be little tweaks from week to week. There'll be little tweaks that Zach Robinson, when he had his eyes on this offense and what he would like to do, you know, that might be a little bit more than what maybe Sean McVay was doing in L.A. or what they were doing in Washington when Kurt first got into this system. But make no mistake about it, a good bit of it is going to be rehash for him. And so then so he has the ability now to help coach the other players that might not have been in the system. And anybody that watched that Netflix special on the quarterback, I think I knew a lot about Kirk Cousins. I got a new perspective on how much of a team-oriented dude he is and how much time he spends to try to make sure other guys are standing out and playing well. I think all that factors into this being a very successful marriage between the two.
Arch, when it comes to protecting Kirk Cousins, obviously a big emphasis will be placed on this offensive line, improving their pass blocking ability. How much do you think that has been stressed so far and will be as we head into camp?
Yeah, I think, Chris, you got to continue to try to be better at protecting the passer. This is a game that predominantly is played in the air, but I think that Atlanta's ability to run the football will be a positive in that regard. I think when you come in and you look at what Atlanta's been able to do the last couple of seasons running the ball, I know this can be a little bit different system, but you still got two prolific running backs back there that can tote the rock. And I think these guys up front have really relished the ability to come off the ball and shorten people's necks on the other side of the ball in a run game. And I think that that pays dividends when you begin to start thinking about throwing the football. I think that that'll be something Zach will continue to do. They did a really good job of running the football in L.A. last year. He was the pass game coordinator that coordinated with what they were doing run game-wise in L.A., and I think that what they were able to do with the run game, I think, will equate here. And I think that it helps the passing game play action, certainly, because there'll be more people in to help protect. But when you do go to three or four wide receivers and spread things out and have two short corners, no, maybe not necessarily a tight end lined up outside that tackle, then guys are going to have to step up. And there's some guys that struggled from time to time. Caleb McGarry is a guy that comes to mind that has struggled with some pass blocking. Drew Dahlman can struggle inside sometimes. He's just not the biggest dude in the world. So it'll be interesting to see how they design some of the protections, some of the help they get from the backs chipping out, maybe tight ends chipping out. But you know, they're definitely concentrating on it. But I think that they will benefit from their ability to run the football here, and that'll help their pass protection.
We're talking with Dave Archer here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, Archer will be up there at practice as well. You'll hear him with Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, for every game this season. I want to ask you about these guys up front that we drafted. We haven't seen the physicality yet because they hadn't put on the pads, but Arch, they are bigger, right? More athletic up front defensively with the guys that they drafted.
No question about it. I mean, it starts with how hard Grady's worked to get himself back. And as you're a young player and you're watching Grady Jarrett go about his business to try to get himself back on the field, that's a tremendous inspiration. David Onyemata was a guy that came in and I thought played extremely well, got a little bit banged up himself, missed a game or two this last year. So the depth scenario, big deal. To get Rucaroro to come in and step in, and of course the young man from Oregon, Dorlas, both those guys have versatility, guys. When you look at what Raheem wants to do defensively, everything's kind of a morphing between the four and three man line looks. And so the more depth you have, the more versatility you have. Rucaroro has the ability to play over the nose if he needed to, but he could slide out to a three technique, which is in a four-man line. He can slide all the way out to a five and play out over the tackle because he did some of that at Clemson. Dorlas is the same way. So the versatility those two young men bring to the table, as well as the depth, knowing that you've got two veteran players that got a little bit banged up last year that are returning. I think the size that you talked about, some of the guys that will be wanting to climb back in there let's not forget about TQ Graham. Graham was playing really well until he hurt his knee a couple seasons ago, right? So I think TQ will be back in there. Kentavious Street paid some serious dividends when he came in and played. Even LaKale London, a free agent, came in and did some good things. They've got a lot more depth in that interior area, and they've got a lot more competition in there as well.
Talking about the defense here with Dave Archer, Falcons radio analyst on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How about the back end of the defense, Arch? Who do you envision lining up at that CB2 spot opposite AJ?
Yeah, I think right now Clark Phillips is the youngster out of Utah. I think that, you know, he had a couple of moments last year that I think the fans got a little skittish about. I thought he had some moments that were really pretty good. He's got a nose for the football. Clark's one of those kind of guys that for whatever reason, just has the ability to be around the ball. I think that he'll be better this year. He'll understand what he can and can't get away with as a corner in the National Football League that he might have been able to get away with in Salt Lake City at the University of Utah. Those things will be different. And so he's probably learned some of that. I would think he's going to be the guy, Chris, right now. Certainly you've got a couple of veteran players that they've signed that potentially could be in the mix. But let's not forget Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes is a guy that played nickel. I'm sure he'll get some snaps at corner. D. Alford can play the nickel if Mike were to step in and potentially be the other corner. Then D would be your nickel probably in that situation. So I think they do have some versatility and do have some numbers back there that might help them have some good competition. But ultimately, I think you'll open your camp with Clark and he'll have to prove that he's not the guy.
Arch, I'll probably ask you this throughout the course of the year until I'm not asking. What are we going to get out of Kyle Pitts this year? What do you feel like we can get out of Kyle Pitts this season?
I really think, Carl, this is going to be a boon year for him. I really think we're going to see a reboot of what we saw his rookie season. I thought that, you know, obviously we were robbed of his abilities to play halfway through his second season with the knee injury. And then last year he just didn't look himself. He looked like he was trying to protect the knee. You and I talked about it a number of times where he kind of would drop his shoulder as opposed to, you know, using that athleticism to stiff arm a guy or step over a guy. He was trying to protect his legs. And really, when you have a knee blown like that, the way he had a guy blindside him like that low two seasons ago, that's a hard thing to get over mentally, you know. And I think that to get back out there and play, for the most part, an injury-free season a year ago, albeit maybe not quite the same speed that he normally plays at, I think that's he's gonna get back to being that guy. Plus, you're going to get back to doing things offensively that you did when Matt Ryan was the quarterback, okay? So that's who he starred with Matt Ryan. There was an immediate connection with Kyle and with Kirk Cousins when Kirk got here. I think that they both understand the abilities there. He understands he's got a veteran quarterback that can get him the rock, and he understands, and I think Kirk understands that this is a big-time playmaker that maybe he hasn't been able to play with before. So this is an opportunity for him to have a guy that can work that slot area or tight off the tight end, can create some major damage down the field for him. So I think it's going to be a good mesh, and I think Kyle's going to have a big year.
When it comes to Kirk Cousins rehabbing, obviously that would give way to the backup quarterbacks getting a lot of run, Arch, with Michael Penix Jr. presumptively leading the way and getting some reps and maybe even starts in preseason games. What do you think the fans can expect out of him? What are realistic expectations for the Rook?
Well, when you talk about the quarterback and when you talk to Zach Robinson and you talk to Raheem Morris, when you talk to them, why was Penix the guy as far as quarterbacks go? And they talked about what Kirk brings to the table. His ability to process pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, to understand what's going on in the back end. Now, there'll be some nuances that he hasn't seen before in the National Football League. That happens to all of us that play that position that come in as young guys. But he is at the top level when it comes to processing pre-snap, what defenses are trying to do, where the vulnerabilities are, and what he might need to get into from a protection standpoint to give him an opportunity to make plays down the field. Then you take the fact that he's got playmakers around him that I think are going to be hungry to get the rock and go get the football. But I think those things that he brings to the table pre-snap, once post-snap happens, I think he's a much better athlete than we remembered. I mean, I think you had to go back to the Indiana days or remember, hey, this is a guy that ran all over the field. Now, he's not going to do that here, but he does have the ability to do some of that stuff. So his ability to move is still going to be a piece of what we're doing from a bootleg standpoint, get him out on the edge some. But then his post-snap ability to process once he drops in the pocket, he's not a fearful dude. If you watched him any this year, I know you guys did, his ability to slide and move in the pocket and keep himself in a throwing position, that's a key. Can you stay in throwing position even though you've got heat around you? He does a great job of that. And so I'm very encouraged with what I saw at the OTAs and some of the minicamp stuff. But I think it's going to blossom once we get into camp. I think he's going to benefit seriously from having Kirk Cousins around. I think that's a big deal for him as well. But this is a little bit older player that's coming in. This is not a 22-year-old kid. This is a kid that's been around the block, had some hard times, had to fight through them. He's got some adversity thrown in his face. He fought through that and came out as probably the best pure passer in the draft this last year. We're going to get a chance to see it.
Great stuff, Arch. Can't wait. Next Wednesday, first day of camp, and we'll be amping things up, obviously, with our coverage, and you'll be a big part of that as well, leading into the season and the preseason and all the stuff that'll be going on. Arch, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you.
Carl, Chris, great to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com as we broadcast live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United taking on NYCFC, and Jason Longshore will stop by a little bit later on today here on the show. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. More from SEC Media Days. Many of you tweeting and texting at us. I do not call it X. It is Twitter in regards to...
Right now, let's talk Falcons. Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, is here. And Arch, I know you're excited because this time of year we all get excited about camp getting underway. And, You know, if we could just do away, right, Arch, with all the stuff, let's just get to the games. Can we get to the games, right? That's
right,
how we feel.
Right.
But it's good to have you on the show. I want to start with the offense because I know you spent time with Zach Robinson, our new offensive coordinator, and then talking to some of the guys where they have related to us that, look, Kirk Cousins is way ahead of the curve when you talk about this offense. I don't know how much the language has changed, but I was saying this, Arch, and I want to get your thoughts on it. How much does it help that he is really has been running this offense? And then coming in with Zach Robinson, they're already, you know, the communication is where it needs to be. They don't have to go into camp and try to develop that, right?
No, you're exactly right, Carl. It's a great deal of experience that he has in the system. Now, there's going to be little tweaks from week to week. There'll be little tweaks that Zach Robinson, when he had his eyes on this offense and what he would like to do, you know, that might be a little bit more than what maybe Sean McVay was doing in L.A. or what they were doing in Washington when Kurt first got into this system. But make no mistake about it, a good bit of it is going to be rehash for him. And so then so he has the ability now to help coach the other players that might not have been in the system. And anybody that watched that Netflix special on the quarterback, I think I knew a lot about Kirk Cousins. I got a new perspective on how much of a team-oriented dude he is and how much time he spends to try to make sure other guys are standing out and playing well. I think all that factors into this being a very successful marriage between the two.
Arch, when it comes to protecting Kirk Cousins, obviously a big emphasis will be placed on this offensive line, improving their pass blocking ability. How much do you think that has been stressed so far and will be as we head into camp?
Yeah, I think, Chris, you got to continue to try to be better at protecting the passer. This is a game that predominantly is played in the air. But I think that Atlanta's ability to run the football will be a positive in that regard. I think when you come in and you look at what Atlanta's been able to do the last couple of seasons running the ball, I know this can be a little bit different system, but you still got two prolific running backs back there that can tote the rock. And I think these guys up front have really relished the ability to come off the ball and shorten people's necks on the other side of the ball in a run game. And I think that pays dividends when you begin to start thinking about throwing the football. I think that'll be something Zach will continue to do. They did a really good job of running the football in L.A. last year. He was the pass game coordinator that coordinated with what they were doing run game-wise in L.A. And I think that what they were able to do with the run game, I think, will equate here. And I think that it helps the passing game play action, certainly, because there'll be more people in to help protect. But when you do go to three or four wide receivers and spread things out and have two short corners, no, maybe not necessarily a tight end lined up outside that tackle, then guys are going to have to step up. And there's some guys that struggled from time to time. Caleb McGarry is a guy that comes to mind that has struggled with some pass blocking. Drew Dahlman can struggle inside sometimes. He's just not the biggest dude in the world. So it'll be interesting to see how they design some of the protections, some of the help they get from the backs chipping out, maybe tight ends chipping out. But you know, they're definitely concentrating on it. But I think that they will benefit from their ability to run the football here, and that'll help their pass protection.
We're talking with Dave Archer here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, Arch will be up there at practice as well. You'll hear him with Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, for every game this season. I want to ask you about these guys up front that we drafted. We haven't seen the physicality yet because they hadn't put on the pads, but Arch, they are bigger, right? More athletic up front defensively with the guys that they drafted.
No question about it. I mean, it starts with how hard Grady's worked to get himself back. And as you're a young player and you're watching Grady Jarrett go about his business to try to get himself back on the field, that's a tremendous inspiration. David Onyemata was a guy that came in and I thought played extremely well, got a little bit banged up himself, missed a game or two this last year. So the depth scenario, big deal. To get Rucaroro to come in and step in, and then and of course the young man from Oregon, Dorlis, both those guys have versatility. Guys, when you look at what Raheem wants to do defensively, everything's kind of a morphing between the four and three man line looks, and so the more depth you have, the more versatility you have. Rucaroro has the ability to play over the nose if he needed to, but he could slide out to a three technique, which is in a four-man line. He can slide all the way out to a five and play out over the tackle because he did some of that at Clemson. Dorlus is the same way. So the versatility those two young men bring to the table, as well as the depth, knowing that you've got two veteran players that got a little bit banged up last year that are returning. I think the size that you talked about, some of the guys that will be wanting to climb back in there to quite, don't, let's not forget about TQ Graham. Graham was playing really well until he hurt his knee a couple seasons ago, right? So I think TQ will be back in there. Kentavious Street paid some serious dividends when he came in and played. Even LaKale London, a free agent, came in and did some good things. They've got a lot more depth in that interior area, and they've got a lot more competition in there as well.
Talking about the defense here with Dave Archer, Falcons radio analyst on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How about the back end of the defense, Arch? Who do you envision lining up at that CB2 spot opposite AJ?
Yeah, I think right now Clark's probably going to Clark Phillips is the youngster out of Utah. I think that, you know, he had a couple of moments last year that I think the fans got a little skittish about. I thought he had some moments that were really pretty good. He's got a nose for the football. Clark's one of those kind of guys that for whatever reason, just has the ability to be around the ball. I think that he'll be better this year. He'll understand what he can and can't get away with as a corner in the National Football League that he might have been able to get away with in Salt Lake City at the University of Utah. Those things will be different. And so he's probably learned some of that. I would think he's going to be the guy, Chris, right now. Certainly you've got a couple of veteran players that they've signed that potentially could be in the mix. But let's not forget Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes is a guy that played nickel. I'm sure he'll get some snaps at corner. D. Alford can play the nickel if Mike were to step in and potentially be the other corner. Then D would be your nickel probably in that situation. So I think they do have some versatility and do have some numbers back there that might help them have some good competition. But ultimately, I think you'll open your camp with Clark, and he'll have to prove that he's not the guy.
Arch, I'll probably ask you this throughout the course of the year until I'm not asking. What are we going to get out of Kyle Pitts this year? What do you feel like we can get out of Kyle Pitts this season?
I really think, Carl, this is going to be a boon year for him. I really think we're going to see a reboot of what we saw his rookie season. I thought that, you know, obviously we were robbed of his abilities to play halfway through his second season with the knee injury. And then last year he just didn't look himself. He looked like he was trying to protect the knee. You and I talked about it a number of times where he kind of would drop his shoulder as opposed to, you know, using that athleticism to stiff arm a guy or step over a guy. He was trying to protect his legs. And really, when you have a knee blown like that, the way he had a guy blindside him like that low two seasons ago, that's a hard thing to get over mentally, you know. And I think that to get back out there and play, for the most part, an injury-free season a year ago, albeit maybe not quite the same speed that he normally plays at, I think that's he's gonna get back to being that guy. Plus, you're going to get back to doing things offensively that you did when Matt Ryan was the quarterback. Mm. Okay, so that's who he starred with Matt Ryan. There was an immediate connection with Kyle and with Kirk Cousins when Kirk got here. I think that they both understand the abilities there. He understands he's got a veteran quarterback that can get him the rock, and he understands, and I think Kirk understands that this is a big-time playmaker that maybe he hasn't been able to play with before. So this is an opportunity for him to have a guy that can work that slot area or tight off the tight end, can create some major damage down the field for him. So I think it's going to be a good mesh, and I think Kyle's going to have a big year.
When it comes to Kirk Cousins rehabbing, obviously that would give way to the backup quarterbacks getting a lot of run, Arch, with Michael Penix Jr. presumptively leading the way and getting some reps and maybe even starts in preseason games. What do you think the fans can expect out of him? What are realistic expectations for the rook?
Well, when you talk about the quarterback and when you talk to Zach Robinson and you talk to Raheem Morris, when you talk to them, why was Penix the guy as far as quarterbacks go? And they talked about what Kirk brings to the table. His ability to process pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, to understand what's going on in the back end. Now, there'll be some nuances that he hasn't seen before in the National Football League. That happens to all of us that play that position that come in as young guys. But he is at the top level when it comes to processing pre-snap, what defenses are trying to do, where the vulnerabilities are, and what he might need to get into from a protection standpoint to give him an opportunity to make plays down the field. Then you take the fact that he's got playmakers around him that I think are going to be hungry to get the rock and go get the football. But I think those things that he brings to the table pre-snap, once post-snap happens, I think he's a much better athlete than we remembered. I mean, I think you had to go back to the Indiana days or remember, hey, this is a guy that ran all over the field. Now, he's not going to do that here, but he does have the ability to do some of that stuff. So his ability to move is still going to be a piece of what we're doing from a bootleg standpoint, get him out on the edge some. But then his post-snap ability to process once he drops in the pocket, he's not a fearful dude. If you watched him any this year, I know you guys did, his ability to slide and move in the pocket and keep himself in a throwing position, that's a key. Can you stay in throwing position even though you've got heat around you? He does a great job of that. And so I'm very encouraged with what I saw at the OTAs and some of the minicamp stuff. But I think it's just going to blossom once we get into camp. I think he's going to benefit seriously from having Kirk Cousins around. I think that's a big deal for him as well. But this is a little bit older player that's coming in. This is not a 22-year-old kid. This is a kid that's been around the block, had some hard times, had to fight through them. He's got some adversity thrown in his face. He fought through that and came out as probably the best pure passer in the draft this last year. We're going to get a chance to see it.
Great stuff, Arch. Can't wait. Next Wednesday, first day of camp, and we'll be amping things up, obviously, with our coverage, and you'll be a big part of that as well, leading into the season and the preseason and all the stuff that'll be going on. Arch, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you.
Carl, Chris, great to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com as we broadcast live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United taking on NYCFC, and Jason Longshore will stop by a little bit later on today here on the show. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. More from SEC Media Days. Many of you tweeting and texting at us. I do not call it X. It is Twitter in regards to what was being said today with Kalen DeBoer. And here's the deal for me. And again, I think some people think I hate Alabama, Chris. I don't know why they would believe that.
I don't hate them.
But part of the discussion is, again, you know, the confidence level that you have. And you can say whatever you want. He hadn't coached a game, guys. He hasn't coached a game. We do not know what this is going to look like. You think it's going to look like Washington did last year when he had all those guys come back. He had a professional quarterback, two wide receivers that are in the pros. Like, he knew why he came back to Washington and what they were going to have. I know Alabama's loaded, but again, new staff, new system. I want you to hear from Jalen Milroe, who talked about he feels like the playoff loss for Alabama is fueling them. Well, I would hope so. You were right there. You guys had a shot to do it again. And so Jalen Milroe spoke today, but Kalen DeBoer at Alabama saying a lot of different things, including talking about recruiting in the SEC and adjusting to the South. We'll let you hear it coming up. But when we come back, we got to talk about what's going on around the NFL. Michael Penix throwing the football around. We'll tell you about where that went down. But also, we got to talk about something else that's going down in the National Football League. And it has to do with our Falcons. We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.